Welcome to a new segment we're calling OmniTalk Overtime. If you haven't checked it out, we've started a new video and podcast recently. It's called Buffer Fluff, where we break down the most exciting news stories of the week and we tell you whether or not they're buff, important, or fluff, not important at all. Now, the trick with that is we can only cover so many stories. Typically, we cover about three stories in that segment, but there's so much other exciting news to get to. And so we use this segment Overtime to really talk about those more in depth. So let's open it up, guys. So from your perspective, anything really jump out at you this week? Anything that was super exciting?
The PillPack thing was really cool. I mean, okay, I think the acquisition obviously is not a small deal at all. I haven't had a ton of interaction with Walgreens in the past, but I know a lot of people do. I had a prescription actually just a couple of days ago where I refilled scanning the barcode through the Walgreens app.
Oh, cool.
I think what's interesting is that I think we've always categorized Walgreens as being pretty on top of their game, right? In terms of the application experience, the in-store experience, being in an urban market. I think they had a lot of potential in order to do that. But I just don't think it can match what Amazon and the Prime bulldozer is going to bring to the table when they bring the pill pack energy into the world of what they're doing. So it'll be interesting to see.
Are you excited? Are you going to sign up?
Oh, totally. I think.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it.
Totally.
Like, the fact that Amazon's doing it, it's like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. It's going to be a part of the Prime membership. I don't know how, right? Probably not, it's not going to be free or anything like that,
right.
But a discounted rate. And I think just being able to tap into that using the account that you have trusted and used day in and day out for the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, I think is a huge benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. And the scale they'll be able to get with Amazon it's nothing that CVS or Walgreens right now could beat. And it's an interesting foray now into healthcare. So
yeah.
Now that Amazon's just kind of like, we're gonna start here with prescriptions, and then before you know it, it's like they'll be powering every sort of healthcare. Yeah. We were kind of joking, but it's just like
they're running the lights in our studio.
Pretty soon, it's just like, oh, Amazon Energy and Amazon Healthcare, and it's only the beginning, I'm sure.
But then I can't hate them. Like I think we said last week, it's like the scene in The Godfather. No matter how much I try to get away, they just keep pulling me back in because
totally.
They're so freaking good at what they do and helping us save money. So, all right, let's shift gears a little bit because I know there's a story that Anne really loves this week.
Well,
and so, Anne, why don't you share what that is?
I think you mean by really love. I texted Chris when I saw this announcement and was like, I might quit and do what I can to go work for Glossier and Stitch Fix. Katrina Lake of Stitch Fix and Emily Weiss of Glossier, they've decided to make the super women of all retail industry come together. And Emily Weiss put out the bat signal and was like, look, Katrina, get on our board, start helping us. And now they're just going to dominate the hell out of this industry. I mean, we were talking today about, will we talk about them the way that we talk about the Sam Waltons of the world? People who really...
No relation, by the way.
Yes, just to be clear.
Linda.
but just to make sure, are we going to be really holding these women, which is awesome, in the same regard as we do the real pioneers of retail? And I definitely think so. I'm super pumped. Emily, Katrina, hey.
Yeah, and by the way, for the record, I wept when she told me that entire story. So, I couldn't agree more with you. Carter, I don't know what you think about that. I'm curious.
I don't know a ton about it, but I think the point is you have two incredibly innovative companies in a very close yet separate space coming together to do something amazing.
Well, and you've done some work with the beauty, startup beauty industry. And
totally.
I think that the power, as you think about what Katrina is doing with Stitch Fix and really trying to reimagine that experience, what she'll be able to do with a premium beauty brand too.
Yeah, it's going to be, adding fuel to the fire that they've already created. It's such an interesting space where you have a lot of traditional players trying to gain traction in it. But then once again, you're going to have these, incredible pioneers jump into the world and completely decimate any of the other traditional competition that might have tried to claw their way into relevance here in 2018.
Yeah. I think I have to agree with you, actually. I totally
you
make
don't
sense.
Have to,
but no, I mean, I have
you
to because I think it's that compelling of an argument. I mean, I think the way I'd put it would be like, so we go to a lot of trade shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would say, without a doubt, the two most impressive CEO presentations I have heard in the last probably 3 or 4 years. I think when I first heard Katrina Lake back at the first Shop Talk, the first edition of Shop Talk, super impressive. And I think you've got her on one hand looking at it completely from a data perspective, like how do you use data to make better decisions in the fashion business? And then you've got Emily Weiss at Glossier saying, how do I think about marketing differently and branding? And how do I actually make my customers the brand and give them the control and power of what we are? I think when you marry those two things, like you're right. These two are potentially titans of the industry in terms of how things are going to change. And I wonder, like there's a whole post in this, I think, coming, you can tell. But like, you know, 50 to 60 years from now, are they the ones we're talking about in the same reverence that we've talked about people in the past? So, yeah, that's an awesome story.
Yeah.
What else?
I want to talk about Party City.
And Party City.
Yeah,
all right.
Because I think that one thing that we talked about back when Toys R Us was shutting down, and I think that there's a lot of chatter about in the industry, is why it failed. Like, Toys R Us should not have failed.
The Gary Vaynerchuk thing.
Yeah, I mean, kids, no matter what, are still going to want toys. And so Toys R Us, with all their locations, they had a huge opportunity that I think they missed out on, and that was creating an in-store experience. And I think Party City is primed to do that. They, you know, people are buying toys in conjunction with party supplies just for kids. If you just look at that segment alone. And now that they're putting this together, huge opportunity in bundled items and packaged, you know, a whole Star Wars theme, you know, from Star Wars toys to the plates and cups and, you know, all the other things, party favors and things like that. But I think you bring up a really good point in the previous segment of what now can they do in the physical store experience? You know, are they doing birthday parties where it's, again, a birthday party package? You take all the work and friction out of having a kid's birthday party, and now you're doing it in the space. Or several other things. I mean, and then you bring technology into it, and now what have you opened up?
Costumes.
Sure.
Right. Like, changing
dress
that
up.
Yeah, changing that toy at the top of the shelf experience that Toys R Us didn't do a great job of.
Would you love a crack at that? Like, I just think it would be so fun to like take a shot at designing that. Yeah,
well,
that would be awesome.
Party City.
I don't hit us up. Yeah, I don't have kids, right? But I still see the value or the magic in the experience you just described, and Chris, and you described in your Bluffer Fluffs a piece. But like, I've been to a Party City actually 2 or 3 times in the last year. And it is far from the utopia that you describe right now. Like, they have a long ways to go. But I think it's promising. They're looking at this as a huge opportunity to say, all right, Halloween, we're going to go all in and we're going to, you know, do a couple pop-up stores. It's more than a couple, right? You know, a bunch of pop-up stores. We're going to try to make a dent in this thing. And I think, you know, they have the space, they have the opportunity that maybe Toys R Us passed up or didn't take advantage of. But there's a lot of hard work to still be done on their side. And I think it'll be interesting to see how close they come to this perfect experience that you all describe with the current limitations that they might have with the tradition and the store format and the money it would take to build something like that out.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think the point you're bringing up is their history or the proclivity that they've shown in the past is they might be really good at like poaching some of this business at key times, right? They know how to, it seems like they run things on a low cost basis.
Right.
They probably are pretty entrepreneurial in how they do it, just having done pop-up shops and things like that. But you're right. Well, can they do the transformative thing that it even takes this to that next level? Who knows? But I think if they're successful, then it tells people there may be transformative ways to do this too. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting point, Carter. That's a good topic to bring up too. What else? Anything else?
So the Kroger thing, you know, going into autonomous vehicles, kind of made sense at first, because you look at what Ocado was doing and how quickly they were kind of able to spread throughout the UK as they started. I mean, they really were able to figure out a way to provide their delivery service to multiple regions very quickly throughout the whole country. And so I guess it makes sense where they would feel like this is kind of an avenue that they should go down. But I think you're totally right. I guess my mind would be more on, you know, Kroger utilizing as best they can their existing locations, probably thinking about that just gap in between of like, how do you get a few more distribution centers so that you can have more spread throughout the country so you can still achieve that growth. But yeah, I think that they maybe were just a skip ahead. It's like a shiny new piece of technology.
It kind of is like the shiny penny. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But it's funny, because I was talking with Britton Ladd and I were conversing today, and he was bringing up points like, yeah, there's – like, you know, we haven't even mastered like temperature control and all those things for just regular deliveries. Yeah. And now we're going to try to bring those into autonomous cars, which, by the way, aren't even street legal in most cities. Like, really? Like, where is this going? Or is this, you know, so it makes you wonder, like, why the story's out there. That's why I called it fluff. But Carter, what do you think? I know you were looking at things online.
Yeah, and I get it. Topic. I think that's the point. I think, you know, everyone's getting primed for the day where, you know, pick whoever manufacturer you'd like to is going to provide all these autonomous vehicles is ultimately going to flip the switch and say, hey, we have a fleet. Like, what do you want to do with it? But to your point, I still think that's, you know, I think it's not a long ways off, but we're still a ways away. And I think the immediate stores that, you know, Kroger, who might be diving into this, or who is diving into this, has a lot of other things to worry about, as you continue to mention, beyond trying to pump up or promote this whole new plan that's hinging on a technology that's not even street legal. Right. So I think, you know, obviously, a lot of industries are revolving around this idea of once the autonomous vehicle switch is on, what are you going to do with it? And, you know, I think they're maybe poisoned by defeats of the past where they're like, we're going to be ready for this one. Like, when this one comes, we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, I think there are bigger fish to fry currently.
Don't know that you need to lead on this one.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
There's one story I wanted to bring up that I thought was actually really good. It was kind of silent. It was quiet. We talked a little bit about this throughout the week. I don't know if you remember, but Walmart had an announcement this week that I actually liked. Okay, I actually liked it a lot, and it had to do with they've hired a new head of design, Valerie Casey, formerly of IDEO. And I like this because what it tells me is that Walmart, and I've always been a big fan of Doug McMillon. Walmart has said now that they see what product means. Right, the product is not defined by the products that are inside the four walls, but product is really the brand. And so they're now bringing in somebody that has experience in understanding what true product management is.
Sure.
And then how do they, you know, and creating something out of all the resources they have from the e-commerce portal to the store, all under that halo. And I think that is really cool. So I give them a ton of credit for that. So I just wanted, as we had this overtime segment, just to bring that up because I think it's interesting. We might do more on that later too, but...
Yeah, I think it's. We talked a while when they refreshed their website about how the store experience doesn't match this beautiful picture that they were painting on the website, totally. And so I think that
the
I agree.
And the Drake's analogy.
But yes, they're now I think bringing in the right team of people to say like, okay, let's create a collective ecosystem of what Walmart should look like and feel like, and. Yes, the people of America all over who are shopping at Walmart deserve a high-end retail experience. Not high-end, I guess, but like a high
design,
finished,
polished.
At design. Great prices, right?
Right.
Save money, live better. Like
yes.
you can have design with that brand promise. Like that's definitely something you can do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'll be cool to see what she does.
Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
Still doesn't mean I like Jet Black, but
I know. Really, there's a long way to go on that one.
But this, to your point, this pays off their motto. Finally.
Much better. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It feels realistic.
Totally.
Cool. Well, I think that was a great, great discussion. Yeah. That was a good amount of topics. And thanks for sticking with us as always from Ann and Carter and myself. Be careful out there.